Start off on what we've had in our newscast this morning in covering the council meetings. It seems that there's some discussion as to exactly what should be done with parks. I mean, y'all prioritize things that need to be done in the city, I know, and you had some people speak last night, and so folks understand, council members cannot respond during hear listeners, that hear the folks coming in to speak, hear the public. But you do have an opportunity to talk now a little bit about prioritizing neighborhood parks, the idea of large parks, and kind of give me that balance, if you would, in your view.
Well, real quickly, Scott, we had a pretty good contingency of citizens last night, 20-25 folks that showed up. Number one concern was MLK and redoing MLK. Well, that is on our street maintenance program for this year. So probably by this summer, that'll be underway.
Now, is that multi-part, or will that be a done deal by the end of it?
It'll be between Texas Avenue and the bypass. Okay. That stretch will be redone.
Okay, but I mean, it's not in stages. It's a... we're going to do it, and it'll be done by within the next year. Is
correct.
That fair? Okay.
The other issue was Sadie Thomas Pool. We've been talking about that on and off for the past year. Back about three, four months ago, the city council unanimously moved forward to redo not only Sadie Thomas Pool, but the other pools in the city of Bryan and look at the maintenance. And so right now we're getting estimates and having a consultant take a look at it. We'd like to have everything up and going by pool season, if at all possible. So I think some of the pools almost need to be rebuilt and redone, but it was shut down. Sadie Thomas Pool was shut down a while back because it wasn't being used. So I hope once it's fixed and the taxpayers pay to fix it, that the residents that are there every day that want it taken care of and put back into action will be there and use it and support it and enjoy it over the summer. So that's, how they look at it. But Sue Haswell Park Pool, the Bryan Aquatic Center, and some of the others have been looked at, and Henderson Pool going to be fixed. In regards to Scurry Park, that was mentioned last night. It is a neighborhood park. I have a neighborhood park in the subdivision I live in. There's no parking there. The residents and the HOA doesn't want parking there. It's for the residents to walk and go home. The residents that live around Scurry Park, a lot of them don't want additional parking there because they don't want outside folks coming in and having big parties there. So it's meant for the neighborhood only. So there's kind of a conflict going back between folks that want to have big get-togethers and family reunions there, and they want additional parking, and the families and some of the folks, some of the senior citizens that live around there that don't want additional traffic and people utilizing a neighborhood park. So what we need to do is look at maybe a more of a regional concept. We've talked about a super park. We talked about a mega park. We talked about it yesterday. There's two different avenues that we're looking at. Of course, the ongoing maintenance of our current facilities, our current ballparks. We talked about BRAC yesterday during workshop, adding maybe some additional parks there, some ballparks there, and redoing some of the fields there. We're looking at redoing some of the other ball fields and upgrading some of the parks around the city. We're also looking at a super park, mega park type concept. We've looked at all available land in the city of Bryan that the city has. We've also looked at privately owned land that could be purchased and or donated to the city for additional parks. And what we're trying to do is use some of our hot tax for a mega park type deal. So, money is in different pots. So general fund dollars will go towards the ongoing maintenance of some of these parks and some of their upgrades. If we look at a big mega park that could attract tournaments, could attract additional visitors to our community, heads and beds, it'll help the hotel and motel industry, the restaurants, retail, then we might be able to use some of our hotel motel funds for those. College Station's looking at doing the same thing. If the two cities work together and we have all these wonderful opportunities, these nice athletic complexes and fields, it will attract more people to our community, which is good for the economy, but it's also more opportunities and more fields to use during the week for our citizens.
Well, BRAC is what it is, but it's also where it is, and that is not a central location between the two cities. So is there, in your view, some other situation that may be more southerly that would work out from a geographic standpoint to be able to be utilized for those multiple field tournaments that you want to bring in?
Well, we've got a possible opportunity in the target location, target area there. I don't know if it's enough land, if it's enough usable land that could be used for a mega park, maybe some additional fields there. We've also been talking with some landowners closer in the old Reliance location there, where there could be a possible mega park there also with additional fields. And there's, you're not necessarily sticking it in someone's backyard. There's room to develop and grow around it. You know, you kind of want to take advantage of every opportunity you can. So if you're going to spend millions on an additional park and you're going to use hot tax, you need to have opportunities for hotels and restaurants to grow and develop around it and in the near vicinity. So that would be within minutes of the Veterans Park and what College Station's doing right now. So, and very close to some of the other existing hotels and restaurants in that area. So we are looking at some, you know, of course, opportunities the city of Bryan already has, you know, whether that be on the west side, the east side, north side, and then, of course, any additional properties that could be purchased and or donated for that use.
Let's go back to Mayor Jason Bielski joining us this morning. Let's go back to pools for a minute because you mentioned them, and College Station is struggling, quite honestly, with this as well, deciding whether it's right to maintain those pools, open those pools, or turn them into splash pads, which you've got a few of those in Bryan. So what are the determining factors when you decide that you're going to reinvent that area rather than keep it a pool? What makes that decision, and then also what makes you decide to go ahead and spend the money to rejuvenate that pool and keep it that way?
Well, when I first got on the city council back in 2005, I was taking my kids to different water parks, and they had splash pads. I think it was the one at in Galveston, they had a little splash pad for younger kids, and it's something we looked into. Of course, I thought the splash pads might be $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. You know, I think the first one we put in at Tiffany Park, I think it was like $75,000.
Oh, my.
And
okay.
They go up to the hundreds of thousands of dollars, right, if not in the millions, depending on what you have. As for the ongoing maintenance, liability, in ease, the splash pads are the way to go. You can they recycle the water, so that's a good thing. You don't have to have staff and lifeguards on duty. It could be open, you know, longer hours, where sometimes pools are limited hours, you know, and not everybody uses the swimming pool. So, you know, when I think cities are going to larger complexes, it's something we're looking at, to maybe having a larger complex where we have, you know, a lazy river and a swimming pool and some other splash pads that are all together as a large aquatic center type concept. Adamson's Lagoon in College Station is a good example, maybe a larger version of that. And the city of Bryan is currently looking into some of those possibilities, whether privately owned or publicly owned, or a public-private partnership. But, you know, typically we go and we evaluate the neighborhood pools. If they're being used, I think that's something we definitely need to look at continuing to maintain and utilizing. If they're not being used by the residents, or, you know, they're being destroyed and we've got a lot of vandalism, a lot of ongoing maintenance because people are tearing them up, then that's something that needs to be looked at. But right now, the city of Bryan is determined on four of our existing pools that we're going to go in and make some much-needed repairs for them, open them back up, and we'll see how that goes. At one point, we had shut down the pool at Sue Haswell Park. It's a pool I used younger in life, and that one, and of course, the old pool at the municipal golf course.
I used to swim in it too.
Well, they shut it
sure.
down. That was our pool. But we had a lot of folks in the neighborhood, a lot of young families that are moving in there now that wanted to open that pool back up. So we did so this past summer, and we're going to continue to work to improve it. Bryan Aquatic Center is aging. You know, it needs to be looked at. Do we replace it? Do we keep putting money into it? Do we come up with another location? Do we have an indoor facility? So those are some of the projects we'll look at collectively as a whole with all the other ongoing maintenance and parks, and then some of the new projects we're wanting to work on. And only takes money, Scott. We're probably talking $20, $30 million worth of improvements and repairs that need to be done currently, but and we'll prioritize. Then you have new and growing parts of town that have additional park opportunities and areas that are looking at. We have a couple new subdivisions that are coming in, and we're visiting with them about some really nice parks, skate parks. That's the between splash pads and skate parks. That's the two latest crazes in the park industry, and City Bryan's appropriated money for 2 to 3 skate parks. So we're looking at various locations for skate parks. some of the folks that have been around a while, they're not familiar with skate parks, and it may be scary to them. Some of the young families with preteen and teenagers are asking, how come we don't have that opportunity here? Pretty much every community's got skate parks. We have one at Henderson, one at Williamson Park. The one at Williamson Park is in disarray. If we were to repair it, we could have some additional liability there. So it's time to take those existing ramps out and then put some new ones in. And so and they've got better technologies now. So, you know, and there's a craze. So we could have one, two, three to four skate parks in the city of Bryan in the next, 12 to 18 months. So
one of the other things we covered in our news, council members Sutherland and Pena had sent a memo to the city secretary hoping that the city manager or representative could get some updated information from Bryan PD having to do with the report on body cameras, recruiting minority officers, what would happen if there was a situation similar to Ferguson, handling riots, terrorist activities. You came back pretty strongly in your comments there. I'd like to get your thoughts and maybe expand a little bit on your feeling there.
Well, first, Scott, we could talk about body cameras. I am not a micromanager. The city council should not be micromanaging the staff. I have the full faith and confidence in our Bryan Police Chief, Chief Buskey, and our Bryan Police Department. The men and women of Bryan PD do an outstanding job for the citizens of Bryan. I'm very proud of them. Let me say that. If they want body cameras and they think that technology is something that would be useful for them, that's something we'll look at. The technology is new. Our chief has told me that we kind of want to see how this evolves, if the technology gets better, if there's going to be some maybe grant opportunities for some of these body cameras that we can take advantage of. So they didn't want to be the first ones out the gate to purchase this. But if and when the time comes that our police chief and our police department want body cameras, it is something I will support them on. Right now, they ask for about $400,000 in new vehicles and repairs to existing vehicles, and that's something we appropriated last night. But I don't think it's right for council members to dictate, well, you must wear body cameras and you must use this type of revolver and you must wear black instead of blue and you must drive this car. Again, that's micromanaging. I leave it up to them. The chief is better trained and better aware of what he needs for his men and women out on the streets, and I'll support their efforts. I didn't like that we had some council members that were, you know, trying to mention and compare us to Ferguson, Missouri. We're not Ferguson, Missouri. We're Bryan, Texas. I'm very proud of Bryan, Texas. And, you know, we also are a civil service or regulated by the Civil Service Commission. The voters of Bryan enacted that many years ago. So there's different rules and guidelines according to the state of Texas that we have to abide by. And so there's different procedures in place. Now, when you talk about the operating procedures on how to deal with terrorist activities and how the PD is going to handle riots and again, similar situations in with the Missouri shooting incident. Those playbooks, those manuals, those procedures are for the Bryan PD only. That's not for public consumption. I don't think the citizens of Bryan would like our police department to come out publicly and say, all right, this is how we're going to deal with this terrorist situation. And, some of that's best kept in-house. And it was mentioned if a city council member is insecure about the way the police department's handled and operates, if they don't have the full faith and confidence in them, then please, by all means, go sit down and talk with our police chief and let them tell you a little bit. But for their safety and for the safety of our citizens, that information is not supposed to be for public consumption. And so, again, I'm very proud of our police department. We've done a great job. I'm not happy that we have a few council members that are trying to, basically stir the racial pot and comparing us to Ferguson, Missouri. And assuming that this is going to happen next here in Bryan and we're going to have issues and our Bryan PD is not equipped to handle it and not equipped to deal with terrorists and riots and how we discipline police officers and that they must buy this equipment and use this equipment. Again, we're there as council members to set policies and procedures. I'm not there to be the city manager. I'm not hired to be the police chief. Our police chief came from a much larger metropolitan area when he came here. This is kind of a retirement gig for Chief Buskey. He's well trained and experienced to handle these situations. He's handled some of these situations in the past in Nebraska with some national incidents that happened in his lifetime and career. But, again, they do a great job for us. There's always room for improvement. They're always improving. And if it's something that would be good for Bryan PD and good for our citizens, I will support them on their efforts. And I have the full faith and confidence, as do majority of our council members, in our police chief and our police department, that they will handle each situation correctly to the best of their ability for the benefit of the citizens of Bryan.
Council last night voted $238,000 to Convention and Visitors Bureau funding. Now, that was after you had, in fact, offered more money than that, and Shannon Overby on our radio station was discussing the fact that while she appreciated that, they decided not to take that additional money. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that entire situation.
Well, I guess some of our council members assume we're printing money in the basement of City Hall, and you know, there's never enough money to go around for infrastructure improvements and parks and everything else we've talked about here today. But we had an additional almost $100,000 above and beyond that was requested to give to the CVB. Last year's amount that we funded them was about $184,000. Last night we approved $238,000, which was what was budgeted, which was what was requested by the CVB staff and board. That was about a $53,000-$54,000 increase. A few of our council members decided that wasn't enough. They wanted to give them an additional increase up to $336,000. It was not budgeted. It was not requested. The staff came back from the Convention and Visitors Bureau and asked that we just fund what they requested and what they budgeted so they can get on with their administration. You know, it's delayed their funding already now a month to 2 months. So I'm glad that the council did move forward with the original request of $238,440. But, you know, that's something I'll be asked of. I think some of the council members thought that they can get more bang for the buck, and that, you know, and all the entities that the City of Bryan funds, in my opinion, whether it's a downtown Bryan Association, if it's the Research Valley Partnership, the Chamber of Commerce, they all do a great job for the City of Bryan and the citizens of Bryan, and I wish we could all give them more. But, you know, we have limitations and we have limited dollars, and we do the best we can. The CVB funds are based on a percentage. College Station gives a higher amount of dollars, but it's based on the same percentages according to the hotel motel taxes mm-hmm. that are brought in the two cities. And College Station's got more hotels than Bryan, but those dollars are increasing. The dollar amounts are changing as the hotels open up and those dollars come in. But we did get that approved last night.
And finally today, we found out from Tim Lomax that Post Oak Mall has asked the Get to the Grid folks to find a new home. Where do you see Bryan being able to help out there?
Well, that was pretty interesting, Scott. I think they said there's about 3,500 parking spaces at the mall, and they were utilizing about 2,500 of those spaces. I guess the question that wasn't asked that I would like to ask Tim is if the mall did ask them to leave, if you've got 2,500 vehicles there with potentially two to four people in each vehicle, are they coming back in? Were they not coming back in and eating and shopping and utilizing the mall facilities before and after the game? Or maybe it got to the point to where there were still 2,000 spaces needed for all those that didn't go to football games and wanted to go shopping.
Just to interject, as many night games as A&M had, that probably made it difficult. Those people are there, they're getting on the bus. When they come back, the mall's closed, so certainly they had no opportunity. But does Bryan have a way to help out?
Absolutely. We've talked about it this year and last year about bringing in the City of Bryan looked at it about hiring an operator just to come and offer transportation to and from the Aggie games in addition to Post Oak Mall. It was cost prohibitive. We're still trying to work with Brazos Transit. They control the parking garage. I think there's about 1,100 spaces in that garage. If we can get 11 to 2,000 cars in the City of Bryan and in downtown Bryan, I think it'd be good for the businesses, good for the retailers. I would like to say and hope that our downtown businesses would stay open late if we had a night game, so you could come into one of the local restaurants and eateries and enjoy something to eat and drink before and after the games. So that would be a big opportunity. And they're looking at other locations, I think, regardless if the folks stayed in downtown or if they went up the road on Texas Avenue or Briarcrest or Villa Marie, I think it would be good for for all of the businesses in Bryan, and those opportunities would be great. There is a charge used at a parking garage, probably $5. So if you're looking at 2,500 cars, you could be talking $10,000-plus that would need to be looked at. So it's something that we'll be visiting with the merchants on to see if that's something they would support, if they would be willing to help. The city of Bryan is supportive. And again, we need to get an operator that's willing to come to downtown Bryan. So while they were going to the mall, we were looking for additional operators. We weren't successful with that. This year, we could have that opportunity. And, if you look at that Aggieland, Destination Aggieland app, it'll show you various restaurants, and downtown is featured as one of the destinations in Bryan, College Station, to visit. And so I think it would be good for not only downtown Bryan, but for all of Bryan. And honestly, when you've got 105,000 people at these football games, plus 20, 30,000 in the parking lots, we just need to spread them around.
Yeah, I mean, the idea of running some of them up north. I mean, I really do. They get out of town quickly when it's down south, but if you get them up north, there's a better chance they'll leave some money.
Council is very supportive of trying to make that happen. So we'll be in touch in the next couple of months. I think they've got to make a decision in the next probably 2-3 months on where they'll go. But that would be a great opportunity for Bryan, and that is something that we are pursuing.
Sure. Anything else you want to touch on this morning?
I think that'll do it.
All right. Thank you. Good. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. That's Mayor Jason Byanski. We visit with the mayors on alternate Wednesdays.